Well, this morning, I am going to start doing a series, as I have scheduled for the last month of, last Sunday of every month, where I do the words of our salvation, and I pick one of the important things that we believe. I'm also dedicating the first Sundays of the month to talk about Christian stewardship. Christian stewardship. So I will do one today, and then next month, the first Sunday, every first Sunday, I will do a teaching on Christian stewardship. And I will pretty soon explain to you what I mean by Christian stewardship. Now, when we attend church service, we participate in a number of activities. We pray, we sing, we worship, we hear the Bible read, we hear a message preached from the Bible, we give an offering, we partake in Holy Communion, and we fellowship with other believers. And in some churches, other activities are included. All of these things we do in church are not as controversial as only one, giving. People have no problem when a church prays. People have no problem when a church sings and worships and dances and preaches and reads the Bible. But anytime it comes to giving or giving an offering, there is some discomfort. And unfortunately, because of that discomfort, people are not able to fully express their devotion to the Lord. So under Christian stewardship, I'm going to deal with those questions. So I'm going to address questions that people have about giving an offering. I'm going to address questions such as, why do we give? What do we give? Whom do we give to? Where do we give? When do we give? How do we give? And what happens when we give? So that's quite a bit for the year. So, and I will be doing it every first Sunday of the month as God helps me. So this is part one of Christian stewardship. And my subtitle is, why do we give to God? Why do we give to God? It's possible to do something religiously in church without fully appreciating the biblical basis for why we do it. And sometimes Christians are guilty of that. We do a lot of things, but we're not able to determine why we do them. So I will address why we give. But let me start by defining stewardship and what I mean by stewardship. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. Luke 12, 42, 43. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. It's interesting, a steward is also called a servant. So who is a steward? A steward is a person employed to manage another's property or resources. So a steward is not an owner. A steward is a caretaker or an agent of a principal. Somebody that has been given responsibility and has to execute that responsibility. That is a steward. Generally speaking, that is what a steward is. A caretaker or a manager of another person's resources. So what do we mean by Christian stewardship, because that's what I'm focusing on. Christian stewardship is how Christians manage God's gifts and resources. How Christians manage God's gifts and resources is the practice of systematic and proportionate giving of our time, our abilities, material possessions, based on the conviction that these are things that God has entrusted to us to manage for Him. So our gifts, our abilities, time, opportunity, all these are things that God gives to us, including our own lives, are things that God gives to us to manage for Him. So if God gives us something, He gives us life, our life is not our own. He gives us health, our health is not our own. If He gives us money, our money is not our own. They are things He has given to us to manage for Him. Now, Christian stewardship is very broad, but to focus properly, I'm going to focus for the time being on Christian stewardship in relation to money or money, because that is where people have issues with. So I'm going to spend time talking about it and explaining from the biblical point of view why we do what we do. So why do we give? I'm going to give you 6 reasons why we give. 6 reasons. Why does a Christian go to church and give an offering? Why do we do that? First reason why we give is to proclaim God as creator. To proclaim God as creator. He owns everything in creation. Anytime we give, we are making a proclamation. We are making an announcement that God is the creator. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 14 says, "Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also the earth with all that is in it." We believe that God is the owner. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He owns everything. He owns everything. And as the owner of all resources, visible and invisible, we owe God tribute. If we acknowledge that He created all things and we are living in His world, then we owe Him tribute. Even if He doesn't demand it, we owe Him tribute. In Ghana, we practice several land tenure systems. So you go to farm on somebody's land, there is a responsibility you have towards the owner of the land. In some places, after your crops have yielded, you have to divide the crops into 3. One goes to the landowner and the 2 belongs to you. In some places, you divide into 4. In some places, you actually do it 50-50. Why? Because you are recognizing that this person is the owner of the land and you owe him tribute. In fact, if you go to several parts of our country, you will realize that even when hunters go out to the forest to kill meat, they give part to whomever they consider the owner of the land. When we come to give an offering to God, we are paying tribute to God. Why? He is the creator of heaven and earth. In Haggai chapter 2 verse 8, God says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine." So we recognize Him as our sovereign, as our overlord, and the one to whom we owe tribute. If you truly believe this earth belongs to God, if you truly believe your life belongs to God, if you truly believe that everything in creation belongs to God, then you owe Him something. You cannot recognize that and just go ahead and do nothing about it. You are farming on His land. You are working on His land. You are producing on His land. You owe the owner tribute. And so anytime we give an offering, we are saying, "God, we recognize you as the sovereign creator of everything we have. That's the first reason why we give, to proclaim God as creator. Second reason why we give is to profess God as our provider. He gave us everything. Not only has He created the earth, not only has He created the heavens, not only did He create us, but we also recognize Him as the one who has provided for us. In Genesis chapter 24, there is a story there, a very interesting story. When Abraham wanted to get a wife for his son Isaac, he sent his servant to go and look for a wife for Isaac. And when his servant got to the place where the wife was, and he was introducing his master Abraham, I want you to listen to what Abraham's servant said. Genesis 24, verse 34 and 35. So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys." Abraham's servant says, "God has blessed my master Abraham." What is the evidence? God has given to him flocks, herds, silver, gold, camels. Now, when Abraham's servant says, "God has blessed my master and given him flocks and goats and silver and gold and camels," is he saying that God rained camels from heaven for Abraham? Is he trying to say Abraham was just sitting down and one day camels came down and flocks came down and goats came and gold rained on him? No. Everything Abraham had, he worked for it. He worked hard for it. He sweated for it. He fought sometimes for it. So this is his toil. However, the servant of Abraham recognized, although Abraham was the toiler and the worker, the provider is God. Anytime we give an offering to God, we are saying, "Lord, not only do you own the whole of creation, but everything we have in our hand is from you." It doesn't mean we just receive them without working. We work for them, we toil for them, but because you are the sovereign, everything we have belongs to you. So we know that God is the source of all our resources. The earth is His. Our lives are His. Our gifts are His. Our days are His. Our opportunities come from Him. And all we did was use what He has given to us. The wisdom, the brain, the ideas. If you are a Christian, anytime you give, that is what you are saying. "God, I acknowledge that what I have was provided by you." As a result, David says in Psalm 116, verse 12 to 14, he says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people." David says, if God has so benefited me, what should I do? First he says, "I will call upon his name." And then he says, "I will give my vows to God. I will worship him by lifting up my hands. But not only that, I will also give of the benefits that he has given to me. I will give back to him." Why? Because God is the provider. So we give because we are proclaiming he is the landlord of the earth and the heavens, and we owe him tribute. When we give, we are professing that although we work hard and we labor, we recognize that it comes from God. That it comes from God. And whomever you recognize as the one who facilitated what you have, you give back to that person. Two reasons. Third reason. We give to prove that we trust God. We give to prove that we trust God. He has promised to take care of us. Every giving is an expression of faith in God. Because, I mean, it doesn't make sense for you to have money and give it away. Then what are you going to live on? How are you going to survive? How are you going to make it? So anytime you give, you are saying, I trust God. Not only do I owe him tribute, but I trust him. Why do I trust him? Because he has promised to take care of me. In Luke chapter 6 verse 38, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. When we give, we demonstrate that God is our source of supply and that he will provide for us. So, if you gave an offering this morning or anything you give in the future, you are expressing that God is the creator, he's the provider, and that God will keep providing for you. You trust him. Christian principles are very different from the way the world thinks. That's why people who don't know Christ as Lord and have not submitted their lives to him cannot understand Christianity. Because Christianity has principles that go opposite the way we think. In Christianity, we live by dying. Jesus says, if you want to live, give up your life. Nobody teaches that. In Christianity, we become great by serving. Whoever will be great, let him be a servant. Who teaches that? Jesus. In Christianity, we lead by following. And in Christianity, we receive by giving. In the wisdom of the world, you receive by taking. In Christianity, you receive by giving. In the wisdom of the world, you live by trying to live. In Christianity, it is by dying. It is in going down that we go up. It is in surrendering that we receive. That is Christianity. And if you want to follow Jesus, that is your mindset. And when you have that mindset, then giving is logical. Because we receive by giving. That is the logic of Christianity. So when we give, we are providing evidence to the world that we trust in God's logic more than the learning of the world. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks so much about God's provision. And he says in verse 20, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They never toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, why do you worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? After all these things the Greek Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. When we give, we are telling God, we trust you to clothe us. We trust you to give us food. We trust you to provide for us. We trust you to take care of us. And he says, which one of you in worrying can take care of adding 1 inch to his stature? There are people who wish they would have a few more inches to their stature, and it's not happened. Number four, fourth reason why we give. We give to present our hearts to God. We give to present our hearts to God. He sees our hearts in our giving. How does God know your heart? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 21, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your giving reveals your heart to God. Beyond our necessities, we spend money on things based on how important they are to us. We have necessities in life, such as food needed to keep us functioning, necessary clothing, a comfort, a place to live, health care, responsibility to our family, spouse, children. These are necessities. Beyond them, what we spend money on reveals the condition of our heart. So we spend money on what is important to us. If pleasure is important to you, you spend your money on things that give you pleasure. If impressing people is important to you, you spend your money on things that will help you impress people. If you lust after money, you spend your money on things that give you shortcut to wealth, like gambling. I said like gambling, because I didn't get any response with gambling. Because you're lusting after money. You spend money on something. Everybody spends money. People spend money on sports, on entertainment, on luxury. Others spend money on wildlife, on the environment. Why do you do that? Because that's what their heart wants. Why would somebody spend money on whales? I wouldn't leave a lot of money in my will for whales, because they are not on my heart. I'm not going to spend money on so many other things. Why? Because they are not on my heart. So check your spending. It shows your heart. If you want to show God your heart, you remember where Jesus sits when he goes to church? He sits there watching what people are doing with their money. That's how he could judge a widow's heart and tell his disciples, this woman has the heart that loves God because she gave everything. And then he checked the heart of people pouring in monies, and he says they have no heart for God because they are impressing. The way you give and what you give to reveals your heart to God. Every day offering time, God is watching your heart. I didn't say it. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the money god. You can't serve both at the same time. Fifthly, we give to participate in God's work. He has made us laborers in his field. The reference is Exodus 25, verse 1 to 8. I'm not going to read all of it. But when God wanted to build a place to meet his people, he told them to bring several things. In verse 8, he says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And he told them that they should bring gold and silver and bronze and blue and purple and scarlet thread and fine linen, goat's hair. Bring all of these that I may dwell amongst them. When God wanted to build, he invited people to participate in what he wanted to do. He provided the pattern of the building to Moses, but he called the people to provide resources to build the pattern he has provided. Anytime we give in church, we are participating in God's work. We are becoming part of God's work. And God's work needs to be taken care of. In the book of Matthew chapter 28 from verse 11, there is a story there of what happened after Jesus resurrected. The Jewish leaders paid bribes to the guards who were there, the first witnesses of the resurrection. In fact, the first witnesses were not the women, not Peter, James, not none of the apostles. It was soldiers at the tomb. They saw what happened. They went to report to the chief priests, something amazing has happened today. And they said, you can't spread that information. You can't tell anybody about that. And they gave them money and said, keep quiet. And if you need money, we will give you. And if it goes anywhere else, we will pay our way, but we must make sure this news never comes out. How did they try to stop the spread of the message? With money. How do we counter it to spread God's word? With money. When we give financially, we are participating in God's work. And number six, final. When we give to God, we give to please him. I mean, if you forget anything about anything I've said, remember, we give to please God. He enjoys the sacrificial giving of his servant. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God takes pleasure in a cheerful giver. As Christian stewards, we must live lives totally committed to the Lord. Does it mean that we live anyhow and go to church and just give an offering and think that we can bribe God? No. Christian stewardship is not bribery. It is the stewardship of your heart, of your worship, of your devotion, and everything you have, proclaiming that God is sovereign over your life. It's amazing how people have problems when it comes to giving. And the most thing that amazes me is that the problem is not for those who give. It's for those who don't. So ask yourself, why should somebody who doesn't go to church, who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Christianity, thinks Christianity is a sham, why should he be worried when Christians are throwing their money away? They should even be happy that these Christians are crazy, they are throwing their money away. Why should somebody who doesn't give, who doesn't believe in God, who doesn't believe in Christ, who doesn't believe in the church, who doesn't believe in the work of God, be worried that people are giving when it's not his money? You should only be worried if it's your money. Could it be that their worry goes beyond just worry? Could it be there is a deeper worry that the work of God must not go on, that God must not be honored, that people must not proclaim that God is sovereign, people must not show that God is the one who blessed them, because they understand every giving is a proclamation of God's sovereignty. It is a proof that we trust that God is the one who provided for us, that God is our source, that he will take care of us. Is it possible that the real hatred is that people have problems with God? Not just with Christians. Because I don't have problem when somebody supports Arsenal with his money. I don't have problem. I don't have problem if somebody gives all his money to Chelsea. I don't have problem if a widow leaves all her money to her cat. I mean, I should be worried. Why should a cat inherit money? But why don't people criticize that? Why don't people go on a campaign? Don't leave money to dogs and cats. Don't leave money to dogs and cats. Why are they not bothered? And why do people have problem only when people give in church? I suggest to you, it is not because they are concerned about the church. It's not because, yes, and we know that there are charlatans and people misuse church money and all, but that's not the reason. In fact, people don't care much about that. Because there are a lot of things that people throw away money after, but nobody cares. People stake lotto. There are people who have staked lotto for 10 years. They've won two miserable wins. Do people complain about that? There's a lot of betting going on now. Do people complain about that? Why do people have problem only with those who give in church? The same old ancient problem is what we have today. When Mary honored Jesus with her fragrance, there was a particular individual who was very upset. And the Bible's commentary was, he was not upset because he loved poor people. He was upset. Who is Jesus to be honored this way? And that same person started the process to betray Jesus. Guess what? For money. 30 pieces of silver. Could it be that this hatred of Christians giving is deeper than just logic and common sense? Because in terms of logic and common sense, it doesn't make sense. So I've given you six reasons why Christians give. And if you want to find a reason why you should give an offering, look at these six reasons. Do you think they are biblical? Do they correspond with what the Bible teaches? Do you think it's just a teaching to manipulate you? In your heart, do you really believe this is what should be the reason why you give? If you can come to that conclusion, then as a Christian, you have no excuse but to be a generous giver in the house of the Lord. Amen. Now, I have not answered all the questions about where to give, how to give, what to give. I will be taking it one after the other. Today, I just gave you the reason why we do what we do. And if somebody should ever ask you, why do you go to church and give an offering? Why? Give him these six reasons. And if he's still not convinced, then you know that there is a deeper reason than just his concern about your well-being and future prosperity. It's just they can't believe why anybody will honor God the way you do. Let us pray. Just ask God to help you to honor him with what he has given to you. Father, we thank you that you own the earth and you own us and you own what we have. And so, Lord, in recognition of your ownership of our lives, we give to you out of the resources you have blessed us with, as good stewards of your resources. And may you help us, Lord, as Christians, to be good stewards of all the blessings that you have given to us, and to honor you and place you first in all the affairs of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.